If you have your own copy of scripture, I'm going to invite you to turn, make your way to Romans chapter 12. That's where we're going to be. I'm going to take a moment and I'm just going to get us started in prayer, and then we're going to get right after it. So Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 is where we're going to be. But let me pray for the Lord to speak to us now. So God, we just yield to you. Right now, we're thankful for your hand of protection and provision. And we're thankful for the fact that you know every single one of us and that you care for and you want the best for every single one of us. You know our stories, our struggles, and you know the pathway forward for every single one of us. And so I pray that in the areas that we're holding too tightly that we need to surrender, I pray that you would prompt that. God, the areas that we are making our lives way too complex before you, we're making our relationship with you way too difficult. I pray that you would be able to just bring clarity and simplicity so that we could be able to meet with you and allow you to do what you need to do and what only you can do in our lives. So let us be those type of people. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so we walked through the book of Acts over the last, I don't even know how long. And so as we were going through and we were just watching and observing the move of God in this group of men, the word that really resonated within a lot of us as a church family, I feel like the word that keeps popping out is apprentice, right? The idea of an apprentice to be able to, they were apprenticing after Jesus. They were walking with him with the purpose of becoming like him. And so what did apprenticing after Jesus look like for the disciples? They spent time with him. They watched what he did. He gave them space after they observed for a little bit to go do what he did. And before long, he was like, hey guys, I'm going to be leaving. And you just keep on going. You keep rolling. The power is with you. The Spirit is with you. You just keep on doing what you've learned from me and just go. And in the book of Acts, we saw it. They started in this small little section in this small neighborhood in Jerusalem. The only ones that knew the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And this small group of misfits that didn't know it all, they weren't educated, this small group of people began walking the way that Jesus did. And what do we see in the book of Acts? The explosion. It's like God actually did what he said that he would do. These people didn't do crazy things in and of themselves, but they were walking with God, and the Holy Spirit was empowering them as they went, right? And so one of the things that we're going to do over this sermon series is we're just going to enter into this space of like, man, how can we keep the narrative going? How can we enter into this space of, man, I believe in Jesus. I trust that he is my savior, but I don't know how to flesh that out in my life. I believe in Jesus, but I don't have time to be able to add anything else into my life. So how can I be an apprentice of Jesus today? Anybody kind of feeling that tension? Can you be honest enough with yourself to be able to say yes? This is kind of what we're going to be doing. We're going to be entering into this, like, I mean, how do we, I believe we've overcomplicated what it actually means to follow Jesus. And so we're going to be pursuing this series, which we have no idea how long it's going to be. I'm not exactly sure. But we're just calling it the simplicity of the simple life. The simplicity of the simple life, because man, as we've been talking over the last couple weeks, just begging God, like, what do we do next? It became clear that all of us are way too busy. All of us don't have enough time. All of us are managing way more. All of us have more and more demands at work, and our money isn't going as far as it did before, and then that makes me feel like I need to work more so I can earn more, so I can do more, and our kids are just crazy. I'm sorry. Y'all are crazy. But I love you, though. You know that, right? But kids just add a whole element to it. Our And when they're teens, they enter into the awkward phase. It's just what it is. Let's just call it. It's awkward in a lot of ways. You want to do a whole lot, but you can't drive. So then you just create this awkward tension. I got to drive you everywhere. They love you, though. It's good. But parents, I mean, let's step into this space. That's real, right? You're more of a taxi driver than you are a parent sometimes because you're just driving all over the place. That's time, right? And so when we start to talk about this idea of, man, how am I going to follow Jesus in my life when I don't have any time for myself? I'm alone? Am I alone or are we getting somewhere? Okay, we're good. Thank you. We got one person that feels okay. Okay, we're good. We're going to be entering into this space of, man, we've overcomplicated what it means to follow Jesus. We try to figure everything out and get the end goal before us before we even take a single step. And so what we're going to do, we're going to go on this journey. Man, Jesus didn't really tell people the destination, but he invited them on a journey. He invited them to be able to follow him and walk through life, to walk with God through life. That's what we're going to be pursuing. That this life is pitching us this way of existing, which all of us are way too comfortable with, but we don't necessarily like, but we don't know how to start to fix it, right? Is the ADD resonating? Right, so we don't like how we're living. We know we need to live a different way, but I don't have time to change anything, and I don't even know where to start, so I'm just going to keep living here. We get stuck in this role, right? And so how do we break out of this role and be able to see that, man, what Jesus is inviting us into is an entire new way of life? And that made all of you get like, oh gosh, you're not convincing me that I can do this anymore. Listen, it's not that you're going to necessarily have to delete everything on your to-do list. We've gotten this backwards. It's that Jesus wants to walk with you through life for you to experience his presence with you and you becoming more and more like him as you journey through life. And sure, along the way, your heart may change. Your priorities will begin to copy and become more and more like his. And so when your priorities begin to change and shift, then you begin to make time for what you value. And so we're going on this journey, but don't get the cart before the horse. We look at the Great Commission that Jesus told the disciples, and what did he say? Could you imagine how scared they were when they heard, go therefore and now make disciples, do what I did with you, do it with everybody else, go. That was kind of scary. But listen, we've interpreted that to almost mean that, man, when you get really serious with your faith, those super Christians, they go. Those super Christians become missionaries and then they can go. And when you get serious, you get this top tier believer, you get really serious, you experience God, they're the ones that go and they make disciples. We missed what Jesus was saying. It would be better translated to be able to actually articulate. Jesus was actually saying, hey guys, he had his group, guys and women. Hey, everybody. They were all around him. And he said, it would be better translated for us. As you go, make disciples of all nations. That shifts things because it's like, man, I can't go to Uganda right now. I got responsibilities right here. How am I supposed to do this? If it's this big grandiose thing where we have these super Christians, that's really hard to obtain. But if Jesus is actually more concerned about calling disciples apprentices of him, man, then I can, as I am going throughout my life, make disciples. So, hey, these guys right here that were up praying, they're up here praying because I want them to experience the fact that God can use them. So as I'm going, man, we don't do anything crazy when we spend time together, do we? We sit in my car. And half the time I make you do my errands with me, right? Right? And so I am going. I'm doing my stuff. I'm trying to obey what God is calling me to do. Hey, I have to deliver this coffee to somebody. You get in the car with me. We're going to talk about what's going on in your faith. We can do this. If we think that this is this like big thing that I could never obtain, then we're done before we even started. But if we see the words of Jesus as an invitation to life, to this new way of existence, to be able to see life the way that he does, man, we could do this as we go. And that's what we're pursuing. We're going to pursue the heart of God. We're going to pursue what Jesus is actually inviting us into. And it's just like what Reed was talking about. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus. We're not going to be able to try to tell you all these ways to be able to manufacture and be able to habit stack and be able to really make your time efficient and to be able to just stop doing all the things because you're just distracted. Man, we're not going to talk about that. Our heart behind this is we want you to experience the love of God personally, because if you taste and see God, then what can stop you? What can stop you? I want you to be able to taste and to see that the Lord is good and then not want to go back to the poopy water you've been settling for. That's where we're going today. So I've got one idea for you. I've got one idea for you today. This is it. There are no accidental apprentices of Jesus. There are no accidental apprentices of Jesus. You cannot accidentally grow in your faith. You don't just close your eyes and just hope that one day you'll get closer to God. There comes to this point when Jesus meets with you personally and invites you to join with him as you walk through life, that you need to answer the call and say, yes, I'm going to follow you. And then we have to put in the work. We have to meet with him. You don't have to do all the stuff. You just got to be with him. And that's where we're going. So Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm going to show you how much of a conundrum we're in. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Familiar verses if you've been around the Bible. But let's get into it. Verse 1 says this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then I want us to zone in on verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so what I want us to notice about this is, and we're going to be just pursuing the simple life. But what do you notice about this verse here specifically? It didn't say be careful because you might be conformed. It didn't give an option like, hey, you know, if you're weak, you're going to be conformed to this world. No, it's this imperative that every one of us is being conformed to something. It's just, what are you being conformed to? Right? So he's painting this picture. Do not be conformed to this mold, this image, this thing, but be transformed or be remolded by the renewal of your mind. Be molded and shaped in this different way. There is a different way of life available to you. Don't settle for this. What does that mean? It's like the imagery of, I don't know, this is not original to me, and I asked a couple people, where did I get this from? And no one knew. So I'm giving credit to whoever you are out there. I don't know. But they were talking about this being conformed, and they were using the imagery of when you pour concrete. So do you just pour concrete just all over the floor and just like let it roll? That's a waste of money in this day and age, man, right? What do? You have to set the mold, right? So you frame it out and you put this area in which you're then going to pour the concrete so that the concrete then runs up and then it does what? It forms, it conforms to the mold outlaid for it, right? Does that make sense, or do I have to find something else on the fly? Is it making sense? Yeah? Okay. And so this is the imagery. So Paul is saying, the Bible is telling us that, man, we are being formed by something. The frame has been set for us, and the concrete of your life is already being poured into this image. You're being conformed by something. And so what we have to do, what you have to do, is be honest enough with yourself. Is, are you at peace with how you're being formed? Is this leading you to life? Is this do you really sense and know God's presence? Or are you maybe being conformed into something that you would rather not be formed into? That's the space that we're entering into. And so the beautiful thing of Jesus is he says, man, you don't have to be conformed to this. There's another way. There's another way. But man, we have so many obstacles, because I love to ask questions and just be able to see, man, how are we formed and how are we conformed to the image of this world? And so the very first thing I thought of was family. That's outside of your control. You don't get to pick your mama and daddy. And so good or bad, there's a framework set for you that unless God intervenes, you are being shaped and formed by your family of origin. So you're learning really good things. You might be learning some really bad things, right? All these things, they are forming and shaping the values, the way you see the world, your priorities. Your kids are watching. And that's why we love families, and we're trying to support families here at Mountain View, because we know this is your God-given task to be able to help send out people that are not jacked up and screwed up, but we're afraid because we're all jacked up and screwed up. So how do I not jack up and screw up the way that I was jacked up and screwed up? Is that making sense? Luke, does it make sense? Okay. You guys are dead quiet, so man, I'm just going to keep talking, Martin, but better watch out. Ooh. Families matter. Man, this is our God-given task to be able to help our kids know God and experience him so they don't get messed up the way that we were, right? But guess what? Let's just be real. That's really difficult and that's discouraging, right? Because I'm like, man, I don't know how to do that. And so that's what we're trying to be, a family together, that we can try to figure this out together, right? But our families, they form us. Second thing, I wrote down personal preferences and desires. Man, the things that you like to do, they form you, right? I remember when I went to Liberty, my roommate, hopefully he doesn't watch. I just put him on blast. Anyway, he got girl fever the first week. I was like, dang, I lost another one. Right, first week, man, he was just like, dang, there's girls that say they love Jesus. And then I didn't see him for a couple months, man. He was gone, right? His personal focus was on he needed to catch himself a wife. That was what he was. So then everything about his mentality, everything about his time was just about, man, I gotta go find a girl. One of these girls is gonna say yes. If I ask 100 out, one of them will say yes. It was crazy, right? Now that's an extreme example. But man, if you like hunting, man, do you not spend time in the woods? Do you not spend your resources on stuff to be able to go hunting? I don't go hunting. I'll go with you, Sean. I'll go with you. I grew up in the hood, man. Not really, but in Philly. So you don't shoot Bambi out there, all right? You hit it with your car, okay? And that's what happens, all right? But what else? Man, some of you, what else? Younger kids, man, you go after games and you, the dances, girls. I mean, I'll leave it there. I mean, TikTok, right? You got them dances. Man, that's molding and forming you. You're going after these things, right? And so our families shape us. What we like to do, man, if we allow the things that we like to do, if we allow those things to become God things where they start to influence every area of our life, that's a bad thing. It's dangerous. It's a slippery slope, but it's a bad thing. Those things shape us. Our experiences, So again, man, you could have a really good experience and it can really shape and set your trajectory in a really great direction. Right? That one older adult in your life that gave you a shot that always believed in you. Maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was a mentor. Maybe it was a uncle or somebody that they came into your life. You didn't even believe in yourself, but they were like, no, go after. Let's do this together. That will really shape and form someone. But we can all think of even just silly examples of times when we got embarrassed when we were really young, like preschool or kindergarten, when you got embarrassed. You probably still feel that. Man, Jennifer dumped me on the swing set. She said I wasn't going to be a good boyfriend. In kindergarten, who's a good boyfriend in kindergarten? I mean, let's be real, right? But I still feel it. That's weird. I still feel it. I got to turn that over to the Lord. Shoot. Right? We got good experiences. We have bad experiences, right? If you have bad relationships, man, bad relationships will really mold and form you. Trauma, hurt, pain. We're not going to go down that too much, but I'm just saying, I felt the gristle. Man, that molds you. That shapes you. That really influences who you are and who you are becoming. And then you add culture and society on top of that, where we're just looking to everyone else to tell us what life is supposed to be, and we're all chasing the good life that we didn't determine it, but somebody told us what we're supposed to want. And every time we pull up our phone or we turn on the TVs, they're telling us what we're supposed to do with our time and money and resources. And all these things are shaping us and molding us. And it seems like we've got a really bad problem. The problem is, man, who is doing that? Is it just this really bad thing of chance that we just have all these factors that are really working against us? Or is there an author that is setting the mold that he is telling us that we're supposed to fit into? He's promising us life, but delivering us death. He's promising us freedom. Man, you choose what you want to do, man. You do it. Man, if it feels good, man, go after it. No one could define you. Man, you do it. Promising freedom and delivering death. Man, behind all of these things, behind our family, our personal desires, experiences, culture, all these negative things are being shaped and formed by the enemy himself. Right? John 10:10. What does Jesus tell us? He says this. He says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Who's in charge of this mold that we're being shaped into? The enemy. Right? So the fallen one. And this is the problem, because I mean, we don't think that it's that big of a deal. But listen, I want you to feel the weight of this, that if we don't intentionally press into Jesus' invitation for us to find life, then what we're doing is we're actually saying yes and being ruled by the devil. We're giving into his ways, and we're compromising. We're just never going to experience the life that God has given, that he has created us for. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And in John 10:10, I love this, that Jesus doesn't just leave us with being depressed and say, man, you got an enemy that's just trying to steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. What does he continue to say in John 10:10? Jesus himself says, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly. Jesus says, man, there's another way. There's another way. You do not have to be ruled by the king of this world. You don't have to be ruled by the enemy himself. You don't have to give him an inch, but there is another way, and that is coming to Jesus. That is receiving his way of life. Man, it's a call to action. That all of us are being molded and shaped by things. And if we're not intentionally taking a stand and following after Jesus, then what is happening is we're giving in to the devil to mold us how he wants us. to remind us of our failures instead of the freedom that Christ has paid for us, to get us to think about all of the horrible things that have happened to us and just stay stuck and to never experience the healing that Jesus wants to walk with you. For you to be able to just be content with what is and never experience with what God has for you. The life that he's created us for. So how do we do this? How do we do this? How do we break from this mold? How do we walk in the life that God has called us to? Man, that seems really complex. And it kind of is. But it's radically simple at the very same time. And so as we go on this journey, what we're going to do as a church family, man, we're going to go on this journey and we're going to learn how to walk in Jesus's ways together. We want to invite you, man, if you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, if you're sick and tired of just experiencing just a little bit of tasting and yearning for more, but never feeling like you can break out of it, man, come on, let's rise. Let's go together. Is this going to be difficult? Yeah, it's going to be difficult. But we're going to do this together in community. And we're going to be able to stand side by side together as a family. Because guess what? I want all of us to experience God. We make it way more complex. Are we going to be overwhelmed with the complexity and reality of time and responsibilities and the complexity of life? And we allow the enemy to discourage us from even taking that first step? He's punking you. He's having a field day with you. Or are we going to go on this journey of embracing simplicity and the purity of what Jesus invited us to? When he showed up to the disciples, what did he say? What was his words to invite them? He said two words. Follow me. Follow me. But we like to think of it almost like, imagine if he showed up to Peter. So what was his words to Peter? It was, man, follow me, Peter, and I will make you a fisher of men. Man, really good. So really simple. Man, just follow me. Peter, your action step is just come with me, walk with me through life, right? But imagine if Jesus would have said, hey, Peter, follow me, and at the end of your life, you're going to be crucified upside down, and you're going to be beaten, you're going to be thrown in prison, and people are going to mock you, you're going to be thrown out of the temple, you're going to have to travel all around. He didn't say that. How was Peter enabled to be able to go through all of that? It wasn't because he started off and said yes to the end goal. It was because he was walking with Jesus every step of the way. So how did Peter do it? He walked with Jesus through life. And so for you and for me, man, what is the call? Man, how do we even take a step? What does this even mean? And simple is this, man. It's Psalm 46:10. You know this if you've been in scripture. The simple call is to just be with Jesus, to spend time with Jesus, to place yourself with him and allow him to mold you and shape you, to change your heart. The goal of this is your own personal relationship with him. Don't allow all of this to hold you back. Don't allow the thoughts of all of the sin that he's bringing to your mind to be able to hold you back. Don't allow the shame, the regret, the hurt, the pain that has been molding you to keep you from receiving the life that God is inviting you to. Man, there is healing. Jesus himself said, man, there is life abundantly when you walk with me. So how do we get there? Psalm 46:10. Back to what Reed shared at the beginning. We simply need to be still and know that he is God. To be still. Let's stop. Let's make space for God to do his thing. And so we're going to go on this journey together. But what we want to do is just be able to make space where, man, if you feel like you're just like, man, I have this churning, but I don't know how to take this step. I don't know what to do. If you're here and you're like, man, I want more of God, but I feel stuck in this mold, man, we're just going to invite you. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up and they're going to lead us in some songs. But if you just feel stuck in this rut that you don't know how to break out, man, I want to invite you to come on forward. We're going to have a couple of us up here that we would love to just pray with you. But for the rest of us, man, it's not about doing all of these things. What is the call? What is this simplified response to God? Be with him. Stay connected to him. Cultivate your personal relationship with him. And so if you're here today and you've never done that or you're not sure, man, you come forward. Don't allow the enemy to keep doing his thing in your life. Man, receive that new life. If you're here and you desperately want to be able to take that next step in your journey with him, then man, we would love to just pray with you to encourage you with that. And if not, I'm just going to invite the rest of us to be able to stand and sing. Because what we're going to do is we're going to proclaim that our God is victorious and that he loves every one of us. And so I'm going to pray and we're going to sing. And if you need to come forward, then you come on forward. So Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Jesus, that you didn't leave us on our own, that you don't leave us dead in our sin. But while we were helpless, you came and you bled and died in our place so that we could know you. And so, Father, I pray that we would hear your voice, that we would stop fighting, but that we would come to you and just fight to be with you and allow you to be God. So, Father, do what you need to do now in us and in our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.